Hi, this is Joe Francisco of Directions Media. I sat down recently with a true remote sensing rock star, Cass Green. Cass's experience is wide and deep. She's currently the president of Cass Green & Associates, what was formerly the president of Space Imaging, and before that the president of Pacific Meridian, before it was acquired by Space Imaging, now GeoEye. She's also the past president of the American Society of Photogrammetry and Remote Sensing, ASPRS, and currently serves on the National Geospatial Advisory Committee. We sat down in Scottsdale, Arizona on March 11th to discuss the consumerization of satellite data and what it means to the profession of remote sensing scientists.
So, Cass, thanks for taking the time to speak. So let's talk about this whole issue of the consumerization of remote sensing. There's been a huge explosion, certainly popularized by both Google and Microsoft now. So let's talk about, does this revitalize the profession of remote sensing scientists? And we'll also talk a little bit about the consumerization side as well. So let's, can you give me your perspective on what it might do to help the profession of remote sensing?
I think remote sensing data is going to be used more and more in everyday decision making, especially for change detection. So the ability for everyday people to get access to imagery of their home or the area they're working, that's going to be critically important. And the fact that imagery is old is going to get less and less tolerable. So I see what's happened as only a boon for a remote sensing professional. There are other ways it's going to go, too. I mean, you're going to see land use land cover mapping, change detection, all of that online. But I think it's great for the remote sensing professional. This is the time to be in this field.
Yeah. And with that change detection aspect, there seems to be something that's going on with getting closer and closer to real time, mm-hmm. that more and more companies will demand that real time aspect now that they know that the imagery's there.
Mm-hmm.
So when are we going to get there? Are we going to see microsatellites put up, or what do you think? How are we going to get there?
I don't think we're going to get there for a while. There's definitely be microsatellites, but your remote sensing satellites tend to be heavy, no matter how how small you make the computer pieces parts. You've still got lenses, and it takes up a lot of disk space, so they tend to be heavy. So you know where we have remote sensing that's real time? It's on every telephone pole, at every stoplight, outside your bank. Everywhere you drive, you look up and there's those cameras. That's real-time remote sensing.
And so that's an interesting point because, can that filter into some of the things like what Microsoft PhotoSynth is doing? You're familiar with that?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And maybe taking those pictures and giving both a real-time perspective and a 3D perspective.
Yeah, that's the way that's going to definitely go.
Yeah.
People will start using that data more and more for 3D and for real-time.
Yeah.
It won't be just for security.
Yeah, right. Okay. So let's go to the consumer side, because this is kind of a fascinating thing with Microsoft and Google kind of stepping into our profession. They've popularized it. They've consumerized remote sensing, remotely sensed data specifically. How does that play out either from educating a growing base of people or for the specialist, will we be doing remote sensing and image processing as a web service online, maybe through even Google?
I think that Google and Microsoft have done a great service to the remote sensing profession. I used to get on airplanes and people would ask me what I did, and I couldn't explain it really. Now I just say, Google Earth?
Right.
That's what we do. So I think, and now you got young kids that think it's a hot area to go into. This is so exciting, not just remote sensing, but geospatial, because they're all walking around with cell phones that are location-based. So, they can find out where their friends are. So I think it's what we needed to really bring the geospatial profession to maturity, was to be able to get access to the end users the way we have it now.
So is there any disconnect, though? I mean, is there anything that we're missing? Did this explosion into the Microsoft and the Google world miss anything? Or did we leapfrog something that we didn't have before? You know what I mean?
I never thought of it that way at all. I think some people are worried about the accuracy, especially the spatial accuracy of the data, but it's all relative. And I really don't think that way, that we missed something. I think that if we have, we've gained far more than what we missed.
So let's take Google Earth as an example. Eventually, do you see us being able to do image classification, construct a query with a tool like that?
Yes. Maybe not image classification. The first thing that's going to happen is change detection.
Hmm.
and they will move into, I mean, I don't know if this is a fact, but I can see this happening. Somebody, if it's not the two of them, they're going to put a lot of Landsat imagery up because it's worldwide, and they're going to allow you to subtract one image from another and see where change is occurring. And I think that's going to happen probably relatively soon. Now, I know that Google has the whole Landsat archive.
Right.
So I would expect for that whole historical archive to go up and for people to have the ability to do, you know, just visual change detection. Here's an image from 1960. Here's an image from today. Well, not 60. That's a scratch now.
Yeah.
From the 1970s. And here's an image from today.
Yeah.
And, oh, gee, maybe I'll subtract the infrared band on this image from that one, and I'll see what changes occurred. And that's... I don't think that's even a year away.
So that brings up another interesting question. Given your experience with space imaging and that group, what's the pricing? How do you think that plays out to from the person who's accessing that? Say, I want to do change detection, and they're going to have to pay for that, which, you know, the model changes radically.
Well, they don't pay for Landsat data. It's free.
Sure.
So that's
a service, you might.
Well, I knowing Google and Microsoft, they don't have a business model that gets them money off the service. It's all advertising.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're going to keep on putting up all these things for people to come to their sites. That's their business model. I don't think that for a simple image subtraction, there'll be any kind of I would doubt it. I think it'll attract people to the site to be able to do change detection.
Right.
So Landsat's free, you know, it's terrain corrected georeference free, it's 30 years of it, there's an awful lot of data. It might hurt Spot's model, but Spot's got newer data that's more international because all the problems we have with Landsat, with our country not supporting it the way we should. And then what happens is you identify change with the moderate resolution imagery, and then you go look at the high resolution imagery. So I think it'll probably spur sales for the high-resolution imagery, both satellite and airborne.
So that brings up another interesting point, which is, and it goes back to my comment about leapfrogging. Well, we're going to have to become more educated on image resolution, what each can do for us, where each one will be specific to a task. Maybe change detection is at a 20-meter resolution, but maybe more engineering-specific is at a finer resolution. And then it just gives me the impression that maybe we skipped over the educating process, but maybe we don't have to anymore. Maybe it's going to be intuitive.
I think it's going to be intuitive. I think when people need to be educated, they will become educated. You know, somebody brought this issue up recently. I know I was talking to somebody, and they were really worried about the layman getting online and being able to do change detection. And I said, well, you know, Wikipedia works.
Hmm.
You know, there are a lot of people that write the wrong thing, and then everybody comes in and corrects them, and it's almost like, you know, and this is something I said before several times, democracy and capitalism require access to information. So the best thing you can have, especially if we believe in democracy, is information available. Will some people misuse it? Yeah. But overall, you give it to everybody, and that's a fundamental tenet of democracy.
Do you think because we've made this data so available that this has spurred, because you mentioned it about democracy, companies like China, like in India, to be more open about their data policies?
Yes, most definitely. And even, you know, China, who they do a lot of remote sensing, especially for agriculture, and they're looking at other countries' agriculture to understand what the price of their own products are going to be.
Mm.
They used to do that pretty much alone, and now they've joined GIOS and are very active in it. And so you can see that happening when everybody else shows what they're doing through their imagery. And shows what, like in Sudan, you can use the imagery to find out whole villages that were being annihilated in Sudan. When you have that ability to see, then people tend to jump on board and allow more access.
Right.
So trying to go to Google in China, it's really interesting.
Yeah.
You should go to, you know, Google Earth. Still restricted.
Yeah. So one last question, because you just touched on it, which is privacy or exposure, because the data is available, because eventually we'll get the finer and finer resolution on that stuff. Have we gotten past the privacy issues?
No. Well, a lot of people think we have because there was a Dow versus United States government case in Michigan in the 70s, probably, that the government won, and it was about spying with hyperspectral, or I guess, anyway, multispectral imagery.
Yeah.
But I think most of the world doesn't, or most of the United States, don't really recognize. There's going to be some privacy cases. There are probably five or six already on their ways to the court. Do I think that people will be able to use privacy as a way to stop the imaging of their house? No. I think those cases will lose,
yeah,
for sure. I mean, you have no privacy. You know, everybody, we don't, except inside the house. But we don't, you know, your credit's known everywhere. We have no privacy. And I think that's the trade-off you make sometimes with democracy and capitalism, is that you give up pieces of your privacy to be able to be part of this open institution.
Great. That's a good place to stop.
Great.
Thanks.
Good.
Appreciate it.
Good. Sure. Thank you. I love doing stuff like that.
Thanks for tuning in for another Directions Media podcast. You can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com. Thanks again, and be sure to tell a friend.